Welcome to In the Name of Game.
Welcome once again to In the Name of Game, a video game podcast. Today is the 12th of January, 2012.
And welcome again to our show. We're one less person today, but that doesn't mean we're any less awesome. I'm your host, Iggy.
I'm your co-host, David.
And I'm the last co-host, Colin.
I'm always the last co-host. That's very
what the listeners don't know is that every time, well, most of the time when we introduce ourselves, we either talk over each other or we just sit there in silence for about 10 seconds waiting for the other to talk.
We worked this out months ago, and Colin had the idea that it actually is quite helpful that he is always the last host to say his name. So in fact, he is the last co-host.
The last co-host.
Yeah, you get a pretty epic title there.
Hope Tom Cruise plays me in the future.
Sweet.
No, Jim Carrey. Remember Jim Carrey?
Oh, fuck.
What?
She thinks I look like Jim Carrey.
No, I'm not the only one. He has a definite resemblance to
really?
Jim Carrey. Yes.
Interesting.
I'll show you a picture sometime. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Welcome again to our show. We got some interesting CES-related stuff to talk about today, not to mention more fun SOPA-related stuff and some blunders in the gaming journalist world.
Oh, boy.
Yes. David, why don't you start us off?
Yes, so, there's quite a bit to talk about here. I mean, it's, you know, sort of continuing from where we were last week with, it's the new year, so we've got a whole slew of, like, new things, new announcements, and, like, things to come this year. So, everybody who isn't watching or following CES, there's a few interesting things going on. I'm not really going to take the time to go into all the game stuff, because I kind of feel like we did that last week, and, I was looking into kind of like, has anything new been announced gaming-wise at CES? And like games-wise, not really. We kind of covered everything last week in terms of what's coming to consoles and everything this year. But there is a few interesting like individual hardware things that have been showing up at CES. And while I'm not really going to mention any accessories or anything like that, I thought it is worth mentioning one particular company that is known for making like really bizarre gaming things. I don't know if you guys have seen this thing, but the company Razer, and mm-hmm. they've been like making, like 2 years ago they introduced like this interesting like mega tiny touchscreen like laptop basically. Which they were like, yeah, they called it the Switchblade. And
clever, because like, yeah, Razers.
Exactly. And I think all of their, stuff is a spinoff of their name. I think because in the beginning they were just making like gaming accessories, and then they suddenly switched into this like gaming platform, industry basically, where they created the Switchblade, or at least a proof of concept of it, and then just last year, they had something just called the Blade, and it was like dedicated gaming laptop where like the hardware specs were like super awesome just for gaming, and it didn't weigh 75,000 pounds like most gaming laptops do from other companies. So so this year they've got something that's just like totally crazy, and it's still in like mega proof of concept mode. So I think they're calling it Project Fiona at the moment, but
Fiona,
I think so, or something like that, right? So, right? I mean, I'm almost positive, but
okay.
Basically, it has nothing to do with razors, but it's a gaming tablet, but it's unlike other gaming tablets because it actually is like a touchscreen panel, a 10-inch touchscreen panel with basically two dual analog like sticks like sticking out the side of it, so like you grip onto it with these two analog sticks, and they're sort of like the size of PlayStation Move controllers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole thing is like this big gyroscopic thingy that has like really kick butt specs on it, so you can run games like, you know, Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Assassin's Creed Revelations in
like full HD. And the whole thing has, you know, has like force feedback. It's got, I guess, like THX, you know, certified audio. And it's basically like this hardcore gaming machine, but like a flat tablet with like these controllers on it. And I guess like it's going to be Windows 8 powered, which will be rad because Windows 8 is supposed to be like super fantastic tablet software, operating system. And like, so I was reading about it. It's really interesting. Like they were saying like, yeah, like the general like feel of it or the general sort of like reaction to it has been really mixed because people are like, wow, this is a really interesting concept, but there's a few inherent issues with this. And the biggest one being like, how the hell is this a portable gaming machine? Because it's sort of designed, you know, visually to be a portable gaming machine. It's like, oh, like, you know, you wouldn't like sit in your living room and use this. Well, I mean, I guess you could, but like, it looks like it's designed to be an on-the-go thing. Mm. But it's big, and it's kind of bulky. And in order for this thing that is like 10-inch screen with, you know, THX sound and force feedback to have battery, it's like, oh my god, like how are they ever going to figure that out, you know? So you know, people are sort of scratching their heads at this thing, and it's definitely getting a lot of attention because it's just so bizarre, you know. But I would highly recommend any of you who out there who haven't heard of this thing yet, definitely check it out on CES news. And it's worth taking a look at it. And everybody's, you know, kind of feels that way where they're like, wow, this thing could be really stupid or it could be really cool. And it's just sort of like, well, if they pull it off, it'll be great, but it seems impossible, you know?
So are people mostly skeptical or are they actually hopeful that...
I think they're hopeful. I mean, it's going to be, you know, they're promising like, yeah, it's going to be great. You're going to be able to like... hook it up, you know. So you're going to be able to natively access, you know, things like Origin and Steam and stuff like that. So you can just download games straight to it. Mm-hmm. But it also has, you know, like it's a Windows 8 platform, so you can also, you know, you have like a desktop and everything. But it's supposed to be like a dedicated, you know, gaming thing. Like they were saying, like, yeah, Windows 8 is running on it, but Razer will have like their own game center, you know, that you can just like launch like a game launch pad and you can just like go straight to games. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that, like, you know, the proof of concept is, like, barely, you know, just, like, barely alive. Like, they're like, yeah, you know, at first it was running pretty well, but then, like, the fans started to roar, and it was just, like, spewing out hot air out the bottom until the whole unit just finally died and shut down. You know?
Oh, that's promising.
They were saying, they're like, yeah, you know, and I guess Razer, this is what they have a reputation for, is, like, they show up at CES and they literally have like, you know, being held together with like duct tape, these like, these like super proof of concept ideas. And, you know, it's like a 50-50 thing where it's like, they're really rough and the concept is just barely there, but they're usually like really crazy, awesome ideas. Like when they did the Switchblade, the whole cool thing about that was that it was this tiny little 7-inch computer. And the keyboard itself was sort of like a QWERTY keyboard layout, but the keys were like sort of like plexiglass, mm-hmm. and underneath was like little LCDs that projected the buttons up through the glass. So by default, it was like QWERTY keyboard, but you could like hit a button and suddenly it was just a completely different custom keyboard that was specifically tailored for the game that you were playing, you know?
Mm. You know, so, now that you mention that, I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah?
Yeah. So yeah, it's quite a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, you can look it up online still. The thing is like, unfortunately, I actually have no idea if it ever even made it. You
know? It might have just stayed as like a prototype.
Yeah, because I never really, you know,
for some reason, I felt like it was going to be extremely expensive. So that automatically kind of turned off the interest center in my brain. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's cool. Okay, on other things. Oh, speaking of interesting looking, but I'm not going to buy, Razer is actually coming out. Did I mention this? They're coming out with a bunch of Old Republic related peripherals. There's a mouse, a mouse pad, which, why would you need that? Whatever.
whatever.
Keyboard and a headset. Now, all of them are themed so that they go together. Okay. And all of them are also really expensive.
It's a cash grab?
Well, so the mouse is like $140. The headset is $130. The keyboard is $240. And
is it one of those keyboards with like little LCD screens?
Yes, like one of those. I think there's been a WoW.
Was it really?
Yes, I think there's been a WoW keyboard that's been kind of like this, where the whole left side of it is like a regular keyboard with, I guess I'm assuming the buttons are backlit and whatever, but the right end has customizable buttons, you know, for your like abilities and that sort of thing. Yeah. And all of them have switchable plates that say either like Republic or Republic or Empire insignias, which is nerdy, but some people like it. But the kicker is that the mouse pad, which does nothing other than being a mouse pad, is $50.
Wow. For the true collectors out there.
I guess so. It's just crazy overpriced.
Yeah. Like, Lucas needs to fill his pockets somehow.
I get, because I know a lot of people that are playing Old Republic right now, friends and coworkers, and none of them are getting this. This setup is maybe, I mean, the headset, some people thought looks kind of cool, because a lot of these come with different color, like red or blue interchangeable LED lights. So like, you know, red, you're wearing the Empire insignia and you get the red LED lights on your headset and whatever.
Yeah.
So, but you're paying for like little glitz and glamour stuff that no one else is going to notice because you're at home playing an MMO. Who's going to? Other than you, who's going to really benefit?
That's totally true, yeah.
Off of any of that.
That's super weird. It's definitely for people with crazy disposable income, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, I guess they figure if you're one of those people, and I'm not saying I'm not, but if you're one of those people that likes to decorate an entire wall with Star Wars memorabilia, that maybe this is for you. But I am not going to fall for that, because I could buy a really awesome action figure instead of another headset.
I can buy really cool action figures that also nobody will see.
Well, at least I can display those when people come over. What am I going to do? Look at this headset. It doesn't have the same appeal, really, as me setting up my Indiana Jones figure, you know.
Oh, that microphone's so cool.
Yeah, like, what? Someone will be like, oh, that's not bad. That's kind of cool. But that'll be the end, and then you'll still be like $130 in the hole. So
that's cool. Let's go have beers.
I mean, the other thing too is there are plenty of really nice mice and headset mics that are much less, and probably I mean these guys probably have really, I mean, their mice are pretty famous, so I'm sure the mouse is decent. I don't know much about their headsets in terms of quality, but I mean, there are also other companies that do expensive headsets but brag about having, you know, amazing sound and clarity. So I'm not sure how these guys stack up to those guys, but yeah, don't spend your money there, please. That's all I'll say about Razer. But yeah, so what other stuff?
Yeah, I don't know if this is old news by now or not, because I saw that there was an update just today at CES. So last year we were talking about and highly anticipating the release of the PlayStation Vita.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
we're just having a hard time right now.
Exactly. That's what I was going to mention.
It's kind of an understatement.
I was like totally prepared to, I was like, wow, this thing is rad. And like, how could you not want to buy this amazing, magical piece of equipment? But apparently the world does not feel similarly. They are struggling. But
that's the thing. For all the praise that you gave it, did you buy one?
Well, it's not. I don't think it's out in the States yet.
Oh, that's right.
It's only in Japan. Yeah. So, but
you aren't hardcore enough to get one from Japan.
I'm sure they take pre-orders too, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I probably won't be getting one just because I have like so many games to finish on my current consoles that I need to do that.
Young man in LA, sole person in US to pre-order.
Yes, to pre-order Vita.
Oh god.
One kid, and then like gamer who still has a billion games to finish purchases yet another thing.
That'll be the subtitle, like, a lone guy buys Vita. _ will be like, And he still plays. Won't play it for a half a year.
Still does not play until next PlayStation comes out.
Must finish other games.
Which brings me to the next topic, which is, this is a very brief topic, but I think people might just be getting a little too rumor crazy. And that is that, hold on, I kind of effed up this sentence. But maybe what I meant to say is I think people are like, chomping at the bit a little bit too much and a little bit of like, well, if we talk about it enough, maybe it'll happen sort of thing.
All right.
Where somebody was like asking about like, wow, is the PlayStation 4 going to be mentioned this year? And like, you know, of course, you know, Sony, of course, like they should, was like, hell no. Like, who do you think we are? PlayStation 4? Like,
right.
Heard us say before, and we are super awesome for sticking to this, that PlayStations are supposed to be alive for 10 years, and they have been very faithful to that. And so they're like, so no, they're like, we're not going to talk about PlayStation 4 at E3 or at CES.
Yeah, a lot of people were mentioning it
So in combination, so that was like, you know, like a week ago they mentioned that. Even before CES started, they were like, there's been no PlayStation 4 at CES or at E3, you know? And a bunch of stupid people, I guess, were like, whoa. I'm embarrassed to probably mispronounce this thing that I should know the name of, but the cloud gaming service, Gaikai? G-A-I-K-A-I.
Yeah.
I guess they're like a massive cloud gaming service. And so at CES, just like yesterday, somebody was talking to them, and Gaikai was like, they're like, yeah, you know, cloud gaming's going to be great. They're like, and somebody was like, well, how's it going with like consoles? And they're like, well, the console market is fine. They're like, but no, it's not something that we like super rely on. And then he said, like, he was like, you know, because not all console makers are going to have one more generation of hardware. And I said, and the dude went on to say, and that is going to be the big news at E3 this year. And you know, when they heard that, they were like, what? And then that, in combination with what Sony said, they were like, no PlayStation 4 ever. So now people are like putting these two pieces of information together and drawing these ridiculous conclusions, you know?
I got a conclusion. Have you heard that story about the girl who asked her boyfriend, are you going to love me forever? And he goes, no. And she runs into the street and kills herself. Then he picks her up and he goes, I was going to say I love you five ever. But I was gonna say, you know, are they hoping that they move on to PlayStation 5 immediately? I'm gonna love you PlayStation 5 ever.
Where did you hear that story exactly?
It was, you know, it's supposed to be like some chain thing passed along, but every time I see it, it's like somebody making fun of it, because it's written in like the most horribly, you know, chopped up English that I've ever seen in my life.
That's cool.
Just like typical internet English. I wouldn't say it's cool. It's definitely funny, but it's not cool.
So, now there's this whole thing. Like, everybody's sort of like, you know, chattering about like, oh my God, who's it going to be? Like, is there going to be no next generation Xbox? Is PlayStation?
No, there's. I'm pretty sure they're still doing a new Xbox just because they're behind technologically speaking. But like, PS3, I'm totally fine if they don't do a PS4 because it's still really powerful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, like, I just can't imagine, yeah, like, PlayStation 4 will be, like, some sort of mind-blowing thing. But, speaking of which, a slight derailment, do you guys remember that amazing PlayStation 3 commercial? Like,
the creepy one with the room?
Room?
There's a PS3, like, when it first came out, isn't there, like, a baby in a room? And then there's all these images and stuff it's seeing? No?
Room?
Oh, this is not the one I'm thinking of.
Are you this sure you like, didn't just dream this up, Andrew?
No, yeah. Come this on.
Sounds pretty demented.
We were in probably like undergrad. This commercial came out, and because it was like when Sony was like starting to sort of dream up the concept of the PlayStation 3, and you remember they had that amazing ad where they were like, it was a commercial for the PlayStation 9. And
reality. I just found that PS3 baby commercial. Just Google PS3 baby commercial. It's the first result. It's really creepy because a baby sees all this stuff happening in a white room and then like cries a tear, but it's like a toy baby. It's not a real one.
Huh.
It's really creepy.
Okay.
I was not dreaming it because it's.
None of us said that.
No. Colin said it.
We just don't care. We anyway, just weren't PS, talking PS9. About that.
And this will be the last episode of In the Name of Game.
No. It's just interesting that like Sony would. I mean, I guess I'm saying that I would find it crazy if Sony was suddenly like. No more, you know, like that seems just because like, you know, they've every console they've done has just been like a massive mega hit, you know, so like, I feel like Nintendo, if anyone should be the one to drop out because they've been like slacking on success. So, but, So what is this about Super?
Oh, yes. Okay. So basically, I wouldn't call it a civil war of sorts, but there are different video game developers and companies kind of stacking up on different ends of the SOPA spectrum, some supporting it, some, you know, denouncing it. And the recent one to oppose SOPA is actually Riot Games, who's famous for doing League of Legends. And they recently just posted a statement on their forums. A very eloquent statement saying that, you know, they're against SOPA and they're kind of looking into potential avenues of like, how can we get the word out that we oppose SOPA and also want to spread information about SOPA to anybody who visits our site or plays our games, that sort of thing, which of course, you know, a lot of people appreciate. So got a very positive response. What was unexpected was that a congressman by the name of, where is his name here?
Jared something, wasn't it?
Jared Polis, who's a congressman of Colorado, actually posted on that forum thread, also saying how he supports Riot and is against SOPA as well. It just in general surprised people because I don't think most people would think that a congressman plays League of Legends. And he even mentioned a bunch of that he's partial to Anivia and Maokai, two characters from the game.
Nice.
So that definitely surprised a lot of people, but it also increased their support for, you know, all the anybody right now that is against SOPA. And it almost feels like it's supposed to be some underground movement, but it really shouldn't be. It should be a massive movement, which I'm hoping it will turn into. Everyone's starting to group together. And I believe, was it January 18th? Coming up soon will be, I don't know if they're having another hearing or if they're actually going to vote on it. There's going to be some massive stuff happening. And there's different companies, including potentially Riot, that's saying maybe we should do a blackout on that day to really hit home like how important it is for people to pay attention to this bill that could get passed.
Right.
So, you know, Google is talking about it. Facebook's talking about it. Like, no one has said 100% for sure whether they are going to do a blackout or not. You mentioned last time that Wikipedia was talking about it.
Right.
But think of the message. If everybody did band together on the exact same day and blacked out all these services, that'll force even the people that usually don't notice half of these sites to really sit up and go, you know, maybe I should be paying attention to this because the mainstream media hasn't been talking much about it. I do know via Reddit that some people are trying to talk to Jon Stewart because, you know, ironically, more people seem to get their news from The Daily Show, really, than other news sources these days. Exactly.
I wonder if CNN and other stations will try to pass it off as like some like radical activist group trying to press their opinion upon the
Congress. It's either that or they're being paid off not to, you know, mention it. Because some people were theorizing, like, maybe the reason why Daily Show and Colbert Report and those guys haven't really talked about it much is maybe Comedy Central saying, don't do it, you know? Although I do believe in December, the Colbert Report did kind of a back and forth with one of the previous CEOs of one of the music companies and this, I think, Harvard professor that was, you know, against open, both explaining their sources. But the thing I love and hate about the Colbert Report is that you can't really take it seriously because, yeah, people are giving their information on the show, but Colbert will never really support one side or the other. He'll always make both sides sound kind of stupid. And I think in this kind of case, it actually sort of hurt the argument because you can see the Harvard professor get a little frustrated because, you know, he wants to get the points across about how damaging this bill could be. But then Colbert, because he's playing the role, has to still follow through and, you know, make jokes about the professor and also make jokes about the music company CEO and that sort of thing. So I don't think that show is really the best to get the SOPA information across. I think The Daily Show is the better bet. And from the post I saw on Reddit, somebody asked Jon Stewart, like, will you address SOPA on your show? And he said he definitely would think about it. And I think he mentioned it in, I don't know if it was tonight's intro. He mentioned it apparently in one of the recent intros for the show, but hopefully he expands on that and has a featurette about it, you know, because I love when he really goes off on a topic because he's informative and he's funny at the same time. So I think that stays in people's minds longer than a more dry piece of material telling them about the bill. So yeah, good advancements towards, you know, getting rid of SOPA, hopefully.
Yeah. I still think it won't happen.
Huh?
I still think that it'll be passed. You know, it'll seem like the Congress is done talking about it. And, okay, let's move on to other business. And then you'll read, like, Obama signs this at about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, it's still backed by incredibly rich and powerful companies. And if they really want to, they're basically trying to strong arm a lot of sections of the government, like, or paying off sections of the government to quietly pass this bill. Like, they were trying at the end of last year to sneak it through, to get it voted on, you know, before the year was over. Fortunately, they were, you know, postponed at the last second, saying, no, we're going to do vacation. You guys come back next year. We'll do it then. So that just shows, though, that they're going to stoop to nothing to try to, you know, sneak it past. And I hate sneaks. I really hate sneaks like that.
I hate politicians.
Well, I'm <they're>, right now. They're
well, except for Jared Polis.
Yeah. Cool. Jared Who Polis knows what his stances are on other topics? Though that
well, apparently he's one of only 4 openly gay members of the House of Representatives. I'm reading it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's cool.
He can still be extremely conservative.
He's a Democrat first off, so okay. I doubt that. But let's see. He plays League of Legends and he's gay. He must not be all bad.
I guess
he's a Democrat, so he's not completely. He's not too far gone. Yeah.
Right. Well. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it is helpful to see people pop up and say, you know what, I'm not for this bill. Because right now it feels like, I mean, it is the majority of congressmen are for it still. And I'm really pissed that some from California are for it. Like, Feinstein, I'm looking at you.
But are you really surprised that people from LA are supporting something like this?
No, I'm not. But I was hoping that in a state that's supposed to be mostly progressive, that they would at least see, like, this is could be really bad for the welfare of people in general. And just ignoring the whole music and artist element, like, it's going to start a precedent for potentially fucking up a lot of rights that we've had for, you know, 100 years.
Right.
And I mean, think,
like, if any state is going to support it more than any other, it will be California, because this is where the entertainment industry is.
Entertainment, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it sucks. That's like the one category that we're always, it's always like traitors here. Like, other than that, okay, I can usually predict how they're going to vote. But in this particular case, they're like, fuck you, we like money. Yeah. Anyway, so that's SOPA for now. I'm sure there's going to be more. It's kind of increasing in speed as we get closer to the end of January. Because yep. It's coming to a head. Something's going to happen. Hopefully yes, something... Yeah. Decent and good, but probably not. Yeah.
We're not jaded here in the name of game.
Of course
we're not.
Jaded whatsoever. Well, you're saying that?
That's the joke.
Yes. You're the most
that's jaded. The joke.
That is a joke.
That is a joke.
Speaking of Jason, actually.
What, Elvis?
What, Elvis? What?
I thought he said Elvis.
Our listeners have like two
names. I thought he said Ellis.
No, Ellis.
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 Anyway.
Wow, now they've really tuned in.
No, it's a Left 4 Dead reference. I'm sure they get the joke. Speaking of jaded, though, because I'm really jaded about gaming journalists, I really want to mention this.
First off, I think that we should preface this by saying that we realize that some sites that try to pass themselves off as journalists are, in fact, blogs. And yes, they are entitled to post pretty much whatever they want to, but, and AG, you may continue.
Like, okay, I understand, you know, Joystick, Kotaku, Escapist Magazine, other sites, they like presenting themselves as a news source rather than a gaming blog. Some of them do say that they're gaming blogs, but it's weird. They feel like those terms are interchangeable, which is not always entirely true.
It is so not fucking true.
Yes, and in this particular case that I just ran across earlier this week, that is definitely the case with Kotaku, because Brian Ashcraft, who I think is one of the... I don't know if he's still the editor-in-chief. Anyway, he's been at Kotaku for a long time. He posts this article about how in Japan, a 32-year-old homeless man was found dead outside a Japanese arcade. So basically, this poor homeless guy, froze to death in front of an arcade. Now, that's the news.
That's a pretty sad story.
It's a sad story, and, you know, you get the little cultural bit about how, I mean, this part was kind of interesting from a, you know, since I don't know about this element of their culture, that, you know, Japanese people in general, you know, the homeless in Japan do not act the same way as, you know, homeless in the United States, where, you know, they don't generally beg for money. They got maybe a little bit more pride about it, and also people don't just freely give out money either. So it's a much weirder situation for somebody that is homeless than over here, where some homeless people almost feel like, hey, you have to give me money, I need the money, you know, like, it's very different. Ignoring the fact that, of course, it's a very sad story and it's, you know, an indication of our times, a lot of people, myself included, kind of instantly thought, well, what does this really have to do with gaming? Because, okay, yes, he died in front of an arcade, but that's pretty much where that ends in terms of being related to gaming. And if you're doing that, you could say, well, people got mugged in front of a GameStop, or somebody else here died in front of a GameStop, or an arcade.
Somebody
or,
fell down drunk in front of a GameStop.
Yeah, I used my phone in front of a GameStop. Like, what's the line between, you know, gaming news and not? So a couple people wrote very well thought out comments in the comment thread for that article saying, look, I've been noticing a trend here in Kotaku that you guys are posting things that are very tangentially, like barely at all related to gaming. Sometimes really not at all. Like, it might have some nerdy element, but actually that nerdy element is not necessarily, like if it's a Star Wars thing, but then that's not necessarily gaming related at all, but oh, I guess they made Star Wars games, so I guess that could be a Star Wars game related thing. So basically voicing their disappointment at how Kotaku is not really focused on what it brags to be the best at, which is gaming news. And of course, the first thing I see are a ton of people snapping back at those...
like they take it personally.
Yeah, exactly. As if you told them...
It's not like a small site that needs defending. I mean, this is like a site affiliated with fucking Gawker.
Yeah.
You know? This isn't like a small site. This isn't small-time,
like,
you know, news blog. But
it's very true what you're saying. Like, the reactions almost sound like as if those opponents went to those commenters and said, like, you're an idiot for reading Kotaku. Which they didn't. And they weren't even necessarily saying Kotaku was shit, which, you know, that's up for debate.
It's true.
But they're saying that, like, oh, you don't like this site, well, just don't read it. It's like, well, but these guys are supposed to be giving us news that we want to read about regarding games. If I want a world news or world politics or whatever story that has nothing to do with games, I can read it on other sites that actually have journalists writing
articles. Well, to be fair, it's like, you know, I know that Kotaku is about not only video game culture, but I mean, it's called Kotaku, so it implies that it's going to be about Japanese culture in a way. But I always thought about that it's going to be about video game culture in Japan. Maybe I'm misconstruing this. But even so, it's like, you know, that would have been okay if they wouldn't have mentioned, like, in the headline of the story that, you know, this occurred in front of an arcade. Like, if it just said, you know, homeless man freezes to death in Japan, and then went on to talk about, like, you know, the homeless in Japan are not treated, you know, like what you said at the beginning. But they didn't. It was in the headline, it said, you know, this guy died in Japan in front of an arcade. And so, right. Like, why is that? That's not relevant, you know?
Right.
Poor people die all the time. Why does it matter? Why is this guy so much more special that, you know, that he died in front of an arcade in Japan?
And I think,
you know, if there are still arcades in the United States, I mean, I live in St. Louis. We're not exactly, you know, the paragon of treating our homeless the right way. And when I wander around the city in like 12 degree weather and I see guys laying out, I feel like shit for them. Mm-hmm. I feel like shit for them. You know, these guys are laying out in 12 degree weather. I don't know how more of these guys don't freeze to death in the night. And I feel like shit for him. Why is this guy so special? Why are we drawing attention to this? Because it was in front of some building where they have fucking DDR machines.
And in Japan.
Yeah, and in Japan. It's like, you know, it's in glorious Nippon.
Like,
give me a fucking break.
If somebody did this exact same story in somewhere in the Midwest, I bet more people probably would be angry about the fact that it's not gaming related. Instead of, like, the weeaboos saying, like, oh my god, Japan. Not that I'm saying, you know, I'm not trying to take away.
Well, that is interesting. I'm a historian, and I've studied a lot of Japanese history, and I've studied a lot of Japanese culture. I mean, that part of it is interesting to me. How the differences in how they treat their impoverished. But that's not what this article is really about. It's like they almost added in that part at the end as an afterthought to make themselves look more legitimate, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it's like and it's a news blog, like you said. These guys aren't trained reporters. I went to the University of Missouri, where they have the first journalism school in the country, and I know plenty of trained reporters, and this shit they wouldn't really report on because it's not their area of expertise, per se.
Well, you know, the other thing that pisses me off, and this is another example of why I don't think of most game journalists as journalists, they're bloggers, is that this guy didn't really research his material. Because throughout this whole article, if you're reading just the article itself and not the original Japanese text source information about what happened in this case, it sounds like it happened really recently. Maybe it happened this week. So they provide, I found the source on a Japanese site, which I had to use Google Translate on to find out when the heck this actually happened. It happened in 2005. It didn't even happen within the last couple of years. It happened a dramatically long time ago. So it's not new whatsoever, which makes me wonder, did he know this even? Did he just instantly jump on the bandwagon and want to use this as like some kind of soapbox for him to talk about the impoverished in Japan rather than the fact that, you know, like this isn't actually current events and you're making it sound like it should be current events?
Yeah,
it's poor quote unquote journalism. So I don't even want to call it journalism. Like I could write it, and I'm not a journalist. I guess I could call myself a blogger because I have a blog. That's the extent of that.
Well, you know, to be honest, I'm kind of glad that this issue came up because I've been wanting to talk about not blogging, not video game blogging so much, not the joysticks and the Kotaku and like the rock paper shotgun so much as I want to talk about actual legitimate public paper published hard published magazines and things like that. I want to talk about like the Game Informer, and I want to talk about not so much the official. Do they even have official console magazines anymore?
Yeah, Nintendo Power still exists.
Yeah, I didn't
and
know
I
that.
Believe, but I'm pretty sure PlayStation must still have a magazine. I haven't read it in a long time.
I can't even think of any other print magazines besides Game Informer anymore.
Well, GamePro doesn't exist anymore.
Does EGM still exist?
Well, EGM turned into 1UP.com. I'm not even sure if they're doing that well. I haven't visited their site in a long time.
1UP, they're fine.
They're fine?
Yeah.
They're good. But, I mean, let's turn to IGN, which is, you know, supposed to be game journalism, or look at G4. Bear with me here. I don't want to laugh too. I hate G4. I can't stand G4, but for these reasons, it's like every time, and I posted about this on the Facebook page, you know, just as kind of a lead, and this made me think about it, that, you know, when I used to read Game Informer way back in the day, 1997, 1998, they used to have honest you know, legitimate reviews where they actually gave games twos or threes because they're honestly shit. And back in the day, you know, when you got a six or a seven, you know, six wasn't like, it was just average. I mean, it was just as it was. It was just what it should be. It was an average. If you got an eight or a nine, that's good, you know. But it seems like every game nowadays, like all the Call of Duties, all the Battlefields, everything gets a fucking nine or a ten.
Well, what I miss is that I used to subscribe to EGM for a long time, like when I was in high school and in early college. And sometimes they were pretty brutal with their reviews. And even some of the reviews on 1UP are still that way. Like maybe it might be from some of the people that were from originally the magazine. sometimes they're not afraid to give it a really shitty score. And they would always back it up by saying, like, look, what was his name? Dan Shu? I guess the guy that used to be the editor-in-chief for EGM. He stood by a lot of what they said. He's like, you know, I know we have advertisers for these pages. I know they often want us to write certain things that would help them out a lot, but look, you know, we have integrity. If something sucks, we're gonna call it out, you know. And I miss that in a lot of gaming news sources today, because you always kind of wonder, there's some weird tinge in the article that feels like, are they trying to build it back up again so they can give it, like the GameTrailer.com reviews, sometimes they seem really slanted, like they'll be bashing if you watch any of those, sometimes they'll be bashing the game for like 80% of the review. And then at the end, they bring it up and all of a sudden it gets like an 8.5. It's like, wait, but it were going to say it was shitty.
I've seen reviews where it was just recent. I can't remember what game it was and I can't remember what magazine it was. It was just in the last half of last year. So they talked about, I think it might have been, it was a BioWare game. What games did BioWare release last year besides Knights of the Old Republic?
Dragon Age 2?
I think it was. It was that. It was Dragon Age 2. Because the article was talking about how this game wasn't perfect. But then, like, at the end, it's like, it just went completely, like, it looked like BioWare was slipping money in this writer's pocket. And they said, this game's not perfect, but then it gets a 10.
Wow. I think that should be the...
people not understand how a grading system's supposed to work? You give a 10. You give a 10 to a game that is not only in contention for Game of the Year, but is in contention for one of the best games probably ever made. Because there are very, very, very few games that I would give a 10 to. You know, I talk about Bastion a lot. I wouldn't give that thing probably above a 9. I'd give that an 8.5. And that was my Game of the Year. So I don't understand, like, you know, if Call of Duty gets a 10... Battlefield gets a 10. All the other big budget game gets a 10. Gears of War gets a 10. I mean, it's so arbitrary. And, you know, and like I said, just starting with student teaching, like I have a lot of students who get A's. A lot of them don't deserve it, to be quite honest. And I hope none of them are listening to this. Because a lot of them, I don't know if it's just because I'm out of college and I'm used to having, you know, I'm used to a higher quality, a higher caliber of work. But I mean, I remember it was only 6 years ago that I was in high school. I remember what it was like, and I remember how hard I had to work for some of my A's. It's even 6 years later, it's like, this work doesn't deserve an A, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like the same thing. It's like, yeah, I caught up on Yahtzee today, actually. I watched everything from like the last 8 weeks just because I hadn't been watching Yahtzee Zero Punctuation. Mm-hmm. And it was actually today that he released his best and worst of 2011. And what he said about Call of Duty and Battlefield, they shared the worst game of the year of 2011. He said that, you know, I understand these games are polished and that they're pretty, and I don't hate these games because of that. He hates what they're doing to the games industry as a whole.
Mm.
You know? And it's just like they shovel out the same thing.
Well, that's
over
the topic we've talked about quite a lot.
Well, we've talked about that a lot. but he summated it perfectly. It's like, I don't hate Call of Duty because it's mindless. I understand that people want mindless entertainment. I understand that people want, quote, realistic military shooters, end quote. But it's the same game that's been coming out. When did Modern Warfare 4 come out? Was that 2007? I don't remember, but
yes,
it's been 4 or 5 years. And it's the same fucking game.
Well, you know, to be honest, it's not... I think that the FPSs are the easiest ones to make fun of because, you know, their similarities are maybe the clearest. But they're not the only ones. Like, even... You know how everyone was somewhat lukewarm about... Like, everyone played Uncharted 3. But everyone was pretty lukewarm in terms of how they would express their feelings about it. Like, yes, they would say, oh my god, the sand's amazing. Oh my god, the chandelier thing inside the boat was totally crazy. And all this stuff. But because it was essentially more of the same, like the same formula as the previous game, it wasn't as strong of a title. And I think in the back of everybody's head, they knew that. And it's just like, if Naughty Dog wasn't the kind of company it was, and if it decided to make more and more Uncharteds, it would fall in that same exact trap. And, you know, part of it's because there's always going to, as long as there's a market for it, they're always going to make it. Because why wouldn't they when they have, like, free money, basically? But it's like a Sarlacc pit. You know, once you get, once you fall in, you can't really get out.
It's funny because he mentions the Sarlacc pit in one of his videos.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
I watched 8 of them today, so I can't remember which
one. It's like a nerd hive mind.
Yeah.
But it's true. Oh, I mean, like, man. I'm thinking about it now. Like, there were a lot of moments where, like, wow, this is a beautiful game, or wow, this and that. But I'm not the only person that bitched about how bad the controls were at certain points. It's like, wow, I'm pretty sure I thought I gave a headshot to that guy, and I really didn't, apparently. Or, you know, Drake keeps trying to hide or not hide behind corners when I don't want him to. Like, a lot of the controls were just ported over from the previous games and in some ways almost feel slightly worse somehow. And, you know, even at work I would hear people complain about that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, they just, you know, they're adding on to existing things. It's just harder to see in that example because the visuals kind of confuse you a bit as to the fact that, you know, that is starting to copy, but it's not that far along in the copying cycle as, you know, some of these other franchises.
Yeah.
So they got to be careful. But fortunately, they're working on a brand new title, so they're going to break that. They're going to nip that in the bud.
Got some of these posts on Kotaku. I'm looking at this.
Oh God, don't look at Kotaku.
So the guy that, you know, stood up and actually said something honestly starts getting bashed, and one guy goes, "You're at 100% absolutely being that guy. It takes up a tiny little spot on the blog. Don't read it if it isn't appealing."
Yeah, for now, it takes up a tiny spot. How many
times? And then there's a comment after that that's even better. It's like, "I totally agree. I mean, Kotaku should cater their whole site around their opinion, around your opinion. Who cares about site publishers or journalists?"
Oh, speaking of topics, remember, the other funny thing is, if you look at this article, there's a screenshot I'm looking at that somebody captured of the article. At the bottom, after the article's over, it says related stories. Let's see what the related stories are, shall we? Okay. Stylish or ugly, the PS Vita gets new carrying cases. Okay, so that's one remotely related, video game related topic. Second one, who wants to crap next to a window?
That's actually the most related topic right there.
To guy freezing outside a Japanese arcade.
Yeah.
And then the third one, live and breathe Japanese games. Kotaku is now hiring.
Yeah, it's just what I want.
Yeah, so join the team that makes totally barely related video game blog articles. Yes.
We've probably mentioned this before, but Iggy and I, well, but more so me, was a victim of Kotaku. Apparently, you don't even need to join Kotaku to contribute to their website. That's,
oh my god! Yeah, you do you want to tell the story? Or am I telling the story?
I
want to hear. This sounds juicy.
I'll tell the story since I was the one who was affected by it. Yes. But I'll keep it as short as I can because it's not really that interesting. But it's sort of interesting. Iggy and I went to E3 many, many years ago, and when we were done, I took a picture of Iggy outside of the LA Convention Center with, like, thumbs up, and I put it on, like, my personal, I didn't even put it on, like, Facebook or anything. I just put it on my personal photo site, you know, like a photo log site. And then, like, you know, the next year, that was the whole thing where it went down, where it was like, well, E3 is not going to be around this year anymore. And so
it's like three or 4 years later, right?
Yeah. So, not that year, but the year after that, it was in the news. It was in gaming news where it was like, oh, E3 might be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so a friend of mine, Joshua, who's a mutual friend of me and Iggy's, he sends me a link and he's like, dude, Iggy is on Kotaku today. And I was like, what? And he sends me this link, and at first I thought it was like a Photoshopped joke that he had done, where it was like that exact photo that I had taken on Kotaku's website. I was like, oh, is this a joke? And then I looked, and I'm like, holy crap, this is not a joke. Like, Kotaku wrote an article, and the name of the article was like Video Gamers Rejoice, E3 to Return. And they somehow found that photo of mine that was just like on my personal, like, you know.
I think maybe I had a version of it on my Facebook, but my Facebook, my Facebook's mostly private. And even then, the picture they had looked slightly bigger than the one that I had on my Facebook. So
I think they got it from me, because I think my site had become like totally cached at that point. And the name of the photo was like
E3 something,
yeah. So they found this photo, they stick it on there. So it's just like complete photo poaching, and just like.
Did you ever email them about that?
No, I didn't email about
that. You probably could have, and they would have to. They would have to take it down.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, at the time I was like, "What the hell?" But.
Yeah, I remember Josh was like really encouraging me. He's like, "You really need to email these guys, and like, you can't let them get away with this."
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh, okay," but yeah, it's so again, Kotaku,
scum. No, I mean, if that's yet another example of them not being real journalists. Like, hey, they just take stuff off of Google. It's fine.
I was searching for the right word to describe it, and I couldn't come up with it. And then you're just like, scum.
It's scum.
Word you're looking for, scum.
Yes, that's the word you're looking for. No, seriously. Like, anybody with any kind of journalistic integrity would have either made sure they were allowed to use whatever their visual source was, or just shot something themselves. Or, hey, it's Kotaku. I'm sure they ought to have some sort of E3 photo from years gone by, you know? They've been online for many years.
When I first saw it, my first reaction was like, wow, I bet, like, I was envisioning some person who writes for Kotaku, like, finishing that article at, like, 5 a.m. and being like, crap, it's due in 3 hours. I need an image. And just, like, desperately searching the internet.
That's probably what it was.
They're like, oh, this works great. And just, like, copy, paste, done.
Apparently, like, they missed the part in school where, you know, plagiarism, etc. Not giving credit for work that you didn't do.
I mean, really, if you
but they're journalists, guys. I know all about that.
If you had been more inclined, you could have given them a real hard time, because that is your owned image.
That's super awesomely plagiarism.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Oh well. I if you want to, you should. You can link it in our post, because I actually still have, I screenshotted the Kotaku webpage from that day.
Oh, really?
To just keep a memory of it. So,
I wonder if
it's
still on their site, then, archived somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good question, but I feel like it would be gone by now.
Of course, do I really want to give them extra page views? Probably not.
Yeah, now of course I'm looking for it.
Good luck trying to search for things on that fucking site.
Oh, really?
They have the worst. I mean, to be fair, joystick search is also really shitty, but, you know, like, check their site regularly, so it's not as bad. But, like, I don't know what it is with a lot of these gaming blogs. Their search window or whatever, their search button is always terrible. Like, I'll type in sometimes the exact article, and I'll get things that are totally not related to it at all. Like, hey, you must mean poop, you know, like, something.
Wow.
I don't want.
Wait, are you searching for poop?
No.
Yeah. You're searching for
the entire site.
No, you're trying to find out to poop next to a window, that whole thing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's probably why it's turning up. You know, Google got wind of that, and now they're telling you how to crap next to a window.
What if somebody Google bombed Kotaku so that if you typed in crap or something, Kotaku would be one of the first search results?
What do you mean? That's every one of their articles.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's a zinger.
Wow. Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking at the screen. I found the screenshot of it. Now I'm trying to see if there's any, like, tags or anything. It was in February 17, 2009. This is when it was Oh, dude, yeah.
It's okay, still there?
It's posted at 5:30 a.m.
Oh.
So sweet.
That probably was exactly the situation. They're like, I need a picture right now. I don't know where I can get a picture. This one.
Let's see if I can search for exactly, just like you were saying. Kotaku. Did I find it?
You found it?
Is it there? I think I almost got it. Shazam!
Detention is palpable.
Oh, dude, awesome. They made the image significantly smaller, but...
Okay.
We got to post the link and I'll post it on our...
It doesn't look anything like the original screenshot that I have. Like, the site has changed, but all the same image is there, and it's the same, yeah. So, yeah, I'll link it to you guys right now.
Well, if it's significantly smaller, maybe they stole my Facebook photo. That doesn't make sense, though.
Because the original one was big enough. No, it does look like they took it probably off of Facebook, because the original... image is actually pretty small as well, but the new if you look at that link I just sent out, it's actually much smaller, but yeah. Oh, weird. And then on this one it says that it was posted at 7:30 a.m. That's strange.
What the hell So they changed the time. I wonder if they made it an adjustment, like some
shit. Guys, they're on to us, fix it quick.
Anyway, moral of the story, go elsewhere for your gaming news.
Moral of the story is Kotaku is a pile of shit.
It's plagiarizing shit.
It's the worst kind. I always have to tell it to my students, too. They're like, why can't I just copy this paper, Mr. Colin? They go, or I go, you know what happens when you do that in college? And they never know. Oh. So I always have to tell them. And they're always like, they always go, what do you mean you get kicked out of school for doing that? I just shake my head and laugh.
Yeah.
Says a future Kotaku blogger.
Yes. Or current Kotaku.
I did hear some of them talking about Skyrim before winter break. Yeah, and then when they had Mr. Student Teacher start talking about Skyrim with them, they promptly shut up. Mm. It was very 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 sad.
Anyway, so
that about does it for this week.
Ending in a blind rage.
My whole life's a blind rage. There's nothing to do.
Anyway, guys, so if you'd like to contact us, if you have any more examples of plagiarism that we can rage at, perhaps, you can contact us in many different ways. We have a Twitter at In the Name of Game. We have a Facebook page, In the Name of Game. We have a website, inthenameofgame.com, that you can post comments and see show notes and more supplemental material. We have iTunes, where you can subscribe to us that way on iTunes. And we also have good old email that nobody seems to use anymore.
Have you ever given away any of our stuff?
Yes, I have.
Oh, really?
Yes. Not too often, though. I think what happens is most people think that by the time they hear the podcast, it's too late for them to email.
It's never too late. Never too late.
Anyway, so our email is nameofgamepodcast@gmail.com. So until next time, enjoy your games. Rally against SOPA. And
Read Kotaku.
Don't read Kotaku.
Don't go to any golfer sites, actually. They all kind of suck.
Don't read Kotaku.
Don't read Kotaku.
And have a good week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Later. Kotaku, I hate them. Hey, you know what? I completely forgot. Yeah, I'm getting mad about video game journalism or lack of it. I guess I should say. At least I didn't have curry belly this week.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh God.